What's happening, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, coming at you on this Wednesday as we get ready to preview Week 8 action. Two big rivalry games on schedule, one big West Division matchup on schedule, and we're not going to waste any time getting to the stuff, as I like to say. Facebook.com/SwagTalk, Twitter.com/SwagTalk76, Instagram.com/SwagTalk. At SwagTalk76@gmail.com is the email address. Also, check out the YouTube channel, Swag Talk Show. Go ahead and like and subscribe to that. Share any videos, hit the notification bell, and you'll be made aware of any videos that I upload on that channel. So we have content coming at you now, from the podcast to the video, and Swag Talk is going to continue to grow and do our thing, man. And I'd like to thank everybody for supporting me during this, and showing me a lot of love. So, you know, you guys are the driving force for this, and y'all make it so I can do what I do. So thank you, and let's get directly into this. All right, we're going to look at the players of the week from Week 7. Quarterback, Akil Glass, St. Louis, Missouri, Alabama A&M. He went 27 of 40 with no interceptions, a career high, 440 yards and 6 touchdowns, and he ran for a 7th touchdown as Alabama A&M defeated Jackson State. He did something in that game that had only been done 9 times since the program moved to Division I in 1998, and that is scored 50 points. The 52 points against Jackson State was the most against a Division I opponent since scoring 58 against Mississippi Valley in 2008. The defensive player of the week is Urshaw Davis from Alabama State, from Opa-locka, Florida. He had 8 tackles to lead Alabama State for a third straight game as they defeated Mississippi Valley 42-17. He finished the game with 5 solo stops, a pass breakup. He also had an interception returning at 14 yards and nearly teamed up for a touchdown on a fumble recovery. Specialist of the week is Troy Lindavy from Alabama A&M. He finished the day he punted 4 times for 163 yards, including a long of 53. That would be 1 or 2 kicks of at least 50 yards. He had another 51-yard punt midway through the first quarter. The 53-yarder would come at a crucial time as Jackson State had pulled to within 35-28 in the third quarter. Following the 3-and-out that was about to give Jackson State the ball, with 9:42 left in the game, he pinned Jackson State at their own 22 following a 3-yard return. On the day, he would average 40.8 yards per punt. Newcomer of the week, Ryan Nettles, Alabama State quarterback. He passed for a career-high 305 yards in a 42-17 victory over Mississippi Valley. He threw for a career-high 3 touchdowns and ran for another to give him 4 on the day. He finished 20 of 38. And had touchdown passes of 59, 15, and 14, and he ran a 14-yard touchdown to go along with his 83 yards rushing, which gave him 388 yards of total offense in the victory. So, salute to those guys for winning Swag Player of the Week. And also, Akil Glass racked up some more honors as he was named the Stats Perform FCS National Offensive Player of the Week. So, that's high praise for a tremendous game. Like I said before, 440 yards in the air, 6 touchdowns, and 1 running touchdown. So salute to him, and salute to everybody else who had great performances this past weekend. So now we're going to jump directly into previewing this week's games. We're going to start with the only non-rivalry game on the schedule, but it's probably one of 2 games that will most likely decide each division. And that's Prairie View heading to Pine Bluff to take on Arkansas Pine Bluff. Prairie View hasn't played a game in quite some time. I think their last game was actually played on March 13th when they played Grambling and defeated them 17-10. So they had COVID games against Jackson State, and Pine Bluff moved. They also had games against, I think just the Jackson State game was moved. Alabama A&M and Southern games have been canceled due to COVID. So they're finally getting back on the field, and they are looking forward to playing. But they have some things to, you know, to take care of. They didn't look that great offensively in their two wins, but defensively they were really solid. They defeated Texas Southern 20-19, and then, like I said before, they beat Grambling 17-10. So they only have two games under their belt, and they're gonna try to get back in the hunt. And even though they're ineligible for the SWAC championship because of APR issues, they can still have a hand in who goes and who stays. So they're averaging 18.5 points a game. They're allowing 14.5. They have 14 first downs rushing, 19 passing, 3 by penalty, good for a total of 36. The opponent's 15 first downs rushing, 16 passing, 3 by penalty, good for 34. Prairie View has run for 235 yards on 71 carries. That's 3.3 yards per carry, 117 yards per game, 3 touchdowns. The opponent's 253 yards on 89 carries, 2.8 yards per carry, 126.5 yards per game, and 1 touchdown. Prairie View is 35-68 passing, 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions, 455 yards. That's 227.5 yards per game. The opponent's 41 of 57, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 382 yards, 191 yards per game. Total offense, Prairie View 690 yards on 139 plays, 5 yards per play, 345 yards per game, 4 touchdowns. The opponents, 635 yards on 146 plays, 4.3 yards per play, 317.5 yards per game, and 3 touchdowns. Prairie View is 14 of 31 on third down for 45% and 2 for 4 on fourth down for 50%. The opponent's 12 of 33 for 36% on third down and 1 for 3 on fourth down for 33%. Prairie View has fumbled twice and lost both. The opponents have fumbled 7 times and lost 3. Prairie View has 10 sacks in 2 games, so that's, you know, they've done a great job of pressuring the quarterback, and the opponents have 4 sacks. Prairie View is 6-6 in the red zone with 3 of those being touchdowns. The opponent's 4-6 in the red zone with 3 of those being touchdowns. Individually, Kristen Mosley leads Prairie View with 29 carries for 100 yards, 3.4 yards per carry, 1 touchdown, along with 50 yards per game. TJ Starks, 16 carries, 57 yards, 3.6 yards per carry, 1 touchdown, along with 28.5 yards per game. Shazan Connolly, 13 carries, 45 yards, 3.5 yards per carry, 26 yards long, 22.5 yards per game. And Ahmad Antoine, 9 carries, 28 yards, 3.1 yards per carry, 1 touchdown, long of 12, 14 yards per game. Passing, Connolly, 18 of 31. 233 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, completing 58% of his passes. Long of 60, 116.5 yards per game. TJ Starks, 17 of 37. No touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 222 yards per game, 222 yards, 45% completion percentage. 34 yards was his long and 111 yards per game. So they, and like you see, if you look at the offense right now, there's a lot of questions going around. And they're going to have to work on that in this game. Chris Johnson, 6 receptions, 130 yards, 21.6 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, long of 60, 65 yards per game. Travis O'Connor, 11 catches, 104 yards, 9.4 yards per catch, 35 yards long, 52 yards per game. Kalen Riles, 3 catches, 56 yards, 18.6 yards per catch. 28 yards is the long, 28 yards per game. Ty Holden, 3 catches, 54 yards, 18 yards per catch. 34 yards is the long, 27 yards per game. Colby Washington, 4 catches. 4 catches, 52 yards, 13 yards per catch, 22 yard long. Christopher Simmons, 2 catches, 18 yards, 9 yards per catch, 11 yard long, 9 yards per game. Tony Mullins, One catch for 14 yards. Defensively, Story Jackson, 37 tackles. Jason Dumas, 18. Jesse Evans, 14. Troy James, 13. Drake Cheatham, 12. Bryce Turner, 12. Shelvin Hudson, 11. Trayshaw Smith, 10. Desmond Obi, 9. Kevin Victorian, 8. Jalen Harris and Reggie Stubble with 7. Darius Hawkins with 6. Darius Campbell with 5. Dylan Dwyer with 5. Shaheed Reese also with 5. Dante Carter, 4. Tariq Mulmore, 4. Travion Green and Tavion Haggerty each have 2 tackles. Tackles for loss. Dumas, 6.5. Jackson, 5. Evans, 4. James, 2. Obi, 2. Smith, 1.5. Holden, Victorian, Hawkins, Carter, each have 1 tackle for loss. And Turner and Stubble each have 1/2 a tackle for loss apiece. Sacks, Dumas, 3. Jackson, 2. Evans, 1.5. James, 1. Obi, 1. Victorian, 1. And Stubble with 1/2 a sack. Interceptions by Jackson, Stubble, and Harris. So this defense is very good, especially this season. They're very good. They're really good at making plays behind the line of scrimmage. You see all those tackles for losses and sacks. They're going to get pressure on the quarterback. So that's a key factor in this game. They're going to have to control Pine Bluff's offense and give their offense some sharp fields to work with and hope that they can come around and produce some points, because they haven't scored any points really in this season. So they're this is a tough game for them as an offense. Pine Bluff defense isn't spectacular, but they can get stops. So if Purview can't move the football, then they're gonna put a lot of pressure on the defense. But I like this offense of Pine Bluff against the Purview defense matchup. So I think before I go too deep into what I think about this game, I'm going to go ahead and jump into Pine Bluff. They come into this game at 3-0. They've beaten Southern 33-30. They beat Grambling 48-21. The game against Alabama State was canceled because of weather. And this past Saturday, 2 weeks ago, they beat Valley 24-17. They're coming off a bye week. They played Purview this week, and then they close out their season April 24th against Texas Southern. So they're sitting in good shape for the conference championship. But this is a big game for them. They need this W if they want to advance. Statistically, they're averaging 35 points per game. They're allowing 22.6. They have 16 first downs rushing, 36 passing, 2 by penalty. That's good for 54 first downs. The opponents, 16 first downs rushing, 26 passing, 10 by penalty. Good for 52 first downs. Pine Bluff has run for 363 yards on 107 carries, 3.4 yards per carry, 121 yards per game, 3 touchdowns. The opponent's 365 yards on 101 carries, 3.6 yards per carry, 121.7 yards per game, and 4 touchdowns. Pine Bluff is 64 of 112 passing, 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 821 yards, 273 yards per game. The opponent's 57 of 100, 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 677 yards, 225.6 yards per game. Total offense, Pine Bluff, 1,184 yards on 219 plays, 5.4 yards per play, 394 yards per game, 14 touchdowns. The opponents, 1,042 yards on 201 plays, 5.2 yards per play, 347 yards per game, and 9 touchdowns. So Pine Bluff definitely wants to throw the ball. Their running game is up and down. Skylar Perry, the quarterback, does a good job of running the ball for them, but their backs haven't really been spectacular this year. They did lose Taylor Porter, so that hurts. He was a 1,000-yard rusher in back-to-back seasons. So, you know, they haven't fully replaced him. But their offense is still dangerous with Skylar Perry and all those receivers. Defensively, they're doing good against the run, but they're kind of porous against the pass. So it's going to be interesting to see how Prairie View attacks them with their offense. Pine Bluff is 20 of 51 on third down for 39%, 1 of 6 on fourth down for 16%. The opponents 15 of 45 for 33% on third down and 3 of 6 on fourth down for 50%. Pine Bluff has fumbled twice and lost one. The opponents have fumbled 7 times and lost 4. Pine Bluff has 11 sacks and they've allowed 4. So they've done a good job of getting to the quarterback and a better job of protecting that quarterback. Although their offensive line in 2019 didn't allow very many sacks either. So they honestly have one of the best offensive lines in the league at protecting quarterbacks. So you know that they're not going to beat you. Their line is not going to beat them. So you have to find better ways to attack. So that makes that's another reason why this matchup is interesting, because Prairie View's defensive line is very stout and they have some really good linebackers. So to see that front seven attack this Pine Bluff offensive line, that's a matchup that you want to keep your eyes on. Red zone, Pine Bluff is 8 of 11, and six of those 8 are touchdowns. The opponents, 6 of 7 in the red zone, 5 of those 6 are touchdowns. Pine Bluff is led in rushing by Mateus Clark, 41 carries, 138 yards, 3.4 yards per carry, 1 touchdown, longer 32, 46 yards per game. Omar Allen, 26 carries, 102 yards, 3.9 yards per carry, 27 yards. This is long, 34 yards per game. Skylar Perry, 24 carries, 100 yards, 4.2 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns, 31 yards is his long, 33.3 yards per game. DeJuan Miller, 2 carries, 33 yards, 16.5 yards per game. Per carry, 21 yards is his long, 11 yards per game. Passing, Skylar Perry, 63 of 109, 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 804 yards. He's completed 57% of his passes. Long of 60, 268 yards per game. DeJuan Miller, 1 of 3, 33% completion, 17 yards. Long of 17, 5.6 yards per game. Receiving, Josh Wilkes, 16 catches, 277 yards, 17.3 yards per catch, 3 touchdowns, long of 60, 92.3 yards per game. Harry Ballard, 16 catches, 213 yards, 13.3 yards per game per catch, 2 touchdowns, 58 yard long, 71 yards per game. Tyrann Ralph, 13 catches, 175 yards, 13.4 yards per catch, 23 yards is his long, 58.3 yards per game. Jeremy Brown, 4 catches for 69 yards, 17.2 yards per catch. 2 touchdowns, 31 yards is his long, 23 yards per game. And DeJuan Miller, 7 catches, 57 yards, 8.1 yards per catch. 1 touchdown, long of 15, 19 yards per game. Pine Bluff is led in tackles by Isaac Peppers and Colby Watts with 21. Jalen Thigpen with 19, Sean Steele with 15, Timon Aitkins with 13, Askew and Mitchell with 12, Tyler Smith 11, Brooks and Johnson with 10, Bentley, Farmer, and Reeves with 6, McKinney, Newton, and Singleton with 5, Gray, Harris, and Watson with 4, Hamilton, Beard, Daniel Peppers each had 3 tackles for loss. Isaac Peppers 2.5, Watts 2.5, Thigpen 2.5, Mitchell 2.5, Aikens, Smith, Farmer, and Newton each had 2 tackles for loss apiece. Reeves and Beard with 1.5 tackles for loss apiece. Steele, Brooks, Johnson, Hamilton, and Smith each had 1 tackle for loss apiece. And Bentley, Singleton, and Gray have a half a tackle for loss apiece. Sacks, Isaac Peppers and Mitchell with 2 sacks each. Newton, 1.5 sacks. Watts, Smith, Askew, Reeve, and Smith each have 1 sack apiece. And Monroe Beard, the third, has a half a sack. Interceptions come from Thigpen with 2, Steele with one, and Johnson with one. So, like I said, this is a matchup that you really are interested to see how the Pine Bluff offense fares against the Prairie View defense. But I do think that this game is going to come down to which side wins on the other side. Can Prairie View's offense move the ball consistently against Pine Bluff's defense? Are they able to score any points? Because if they are able to score any points, then I think that that gives Prairie View a very good chance of winning this game. I'm really leaning toward Prairie View more because I think that defensively, I think they're going to be more capable of getting stops against Pine Bluff's offense. That's not taking anything away from Pine Bluff's offense because I do like the offense, but I think Prairie View is just playing very well defensively. And obviously, the layoff is going to be interesting if they're going to be able to continue that intensity on defense. But I think that they're going to be able to make enough stops to get the offense some pretty good field position to win this game. Pine Bluff, you know, they're up and down right now. They're playing well, but they still are adjusting to that mode of being in front. So, you know, they escaped from Valley, which is not always an easy place to play at times. But I think that this is a game that can be had by both teams. But I'm going to go with Prairie View by a score of, I'm going to say, 28-24. I think it's going to be a pretty close game. So I think Pine Bluff does have a great shot of winning this game, but I'm going to go with Prairie View in this game. So the next game that we have is a game that when the schedule came out, obviously this was looked at as probably one of the top games in the conference and maybe even a division championship type game, and that's Southern and Grambling hooking up in Shreveport in the Bayou Classic. Both teams have had their share of inconsistencies during the season. Southern obviously is playing better at 4-1, 3-1 in conference, but they are on the outside looking in as far as the conference championship goes. They beat Alabama State 24-21. They lost to Pine Bluff 33-30. They beat Texas Southern 51-23. They got a forfeit from Alcorn due to opting out. And then they beat Jackson State 34-14. Their game against Prairie View this past week was postponed due to COVID. So they're coming off of a bye week and they take on Grambling. So this is a game that you can pretty much throw everything out because it's a rivalry game. And even though Grambling hasn't played much this season, and when they didn't look that good, you can only take that with a grain of salt. So Southern's going to have to play well in all phases to take down a Grambling team that's going to be hungry. And honestly, they're going to be solidly coached. And they're going to put up a huge fight. So for Southern, they're going to have to continue to do what they do best, and that is run the football. Southern comes into this game averaging 32 points per game. They're allowing 26. They have 172 rushing first downs, 115 passing, 224 by penalty, 311 total first downs. Oh, excuse me, this is the wrong season. I thought that looked kind of funny. Let's try this again. Southern is averaging 34 points per game, 22 points per game allowed, 51 rushing first downs, 31 passing first downs, 3 by penalty. Good for 85 first downs total. The opponent's 34 first downs rushing, 41 passing, 5 by penalty, 80 total first downs. Southern has run for 823 yards on 175 carries, 4.7 yards per carry, 205 yards per game. The opponent's 481 yards rushing on 147 carries, 3.3 yards per carry, 120 yards per game. Southern is 62-106 passing, 8 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 809 yards, 202 yards per game. The opponents, 76-131, 7 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 896 yards, 224 yards per game. Total offense, 1,632 yards for Southern on 281 plays, 5.8 yards per play, 408 yards per game. 18 touchdowns. The opponents, 1,377 yards on 278 plays, 5 yards per play, 344 yards per game, 12 touchdowns. Southern is 29 of 58 on third down for 50%, 2 of 5 on fourth down for 40%. The opponent's 20 of 59 on third down for 33%, and 5 of 7 on fourth down for 71%. Southern has fumbled 6 times and lost 4. The opponents have fumbled 5 times and lost 3. Southern has 14 sacks. The opponents have 6. Southern is 14 of 17 in the red zone with 12 touchdowns. The opponents are 10 of 12 in the red zone with 8 touchdowns. Individually, Ladarius Skelton leads Southern with 45 carries for 241 yards, 5.4 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns, 33 yards is a long, 60.2 yards per game. Gerard Sims, 35 carries, 185 yards, 5 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns, 23-yard long, 43.7 yards per game. Devon Ben, 50 carries, 160 yards, 3.2 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns, long of 20, 40 yards per game. Muhammad, 16 carries, 88 yards, 5.5 yards per carry, 14-yard long, 29.3 yards per game. Craig Nelson, 9 carries, 56 yards, 6.2 yards per carry, 16-yard long, 18.6 yards per game. Kendrick Johnson, 5 carries for 49 yards, 9.8 yards per carry, 24 yards long, 12.2 yards per carry per game. John Lampley, 7 carries, 30 yards, 4.3 yards per carry, 21 yards is long, 10 yards per game. And Corey Williams, 3 carries, 28 yards, 9.3 yards per carry, 11 yards long, 9.3 yards per game. Skelton leads the team in passing at 31 of 57, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 54.3% completion, 427 yards long of 59, 106.7 yards per game. John Lampley, 31 of 49, 5 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 63% completion, 382 yards, longer 34, 127.3 yards per game. Ethan Howard leads the team with 9 catches for 160 yards, 17.7 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns, longer 38, 53.3 yards per game. Brandon Hinton, 10 catches, 126 yards, 12.6 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, 35 yards long, 31.5 yards per game. Gerard Sims, 10 catches, 113 yards, 11.3 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns, longer 22. Average per game, 28.2. Marquise McClain, 9 catches for 102 yards, 11.3 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, longer 31, 25.5 yards per game. Corey Williams, 6 catches, 96 yards, 16 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, longer 29, 32 yards per game. Jorian Valiant, 9 catches, 79 yards, 8.7 yards per catch, 17-yard long, 26.3 yards per game. Jordan Lewis leads the team with 25 tackles. Chase Foster, 18. Caleb Carter, 16. Jalen Ivey, 15. Derek Williams, 14. Jacoby Jones, 12. Devin Cotton, 11, Adrian Rivers, 11, Tomari Smith, and Robert Square, the third, and also Kenan Tate, each also have 11. Jordan Eastling and Jacoby Papillon each have 10. Ray Anderson, 9. Farmer, 9. Cordell Caldwell, 7. Colin Givens, 6. Tyran Nash, 6. Glenn Brown, Latrell Johnson, and Andre Jones each have 5. Robert Ream, 4, Taylor Judson, and Raheem Shorter with 3. Tackle for loss, Jordan Lewis, 14, Jalen Ivey, 4.5, Carter, 3, Jones, Tate, Anderson, Nash, and Johnson each had 1 tackle for loss apiece. Half a tackle for loss are Foster, Rivers, Square, Farmer, Caldwell, Givens, Jones, and Gaydon. Sacks, Lewis, 9.5. Ivy, 2.5. Johnson, Caldwell, Jones, and Gaydon each have 0.5 sack apiece. Interceptions for Jacoby Jones, Chase Foster, and Tomari Smith. So this is a Southern team that obviously wants to run the football. That's what they do. You know, they want to run the ball and they want to stop the run. So there's no mystery to what Southern wants to do and what they can do. The key to beating Southern, obviously, is through the air on both sides of the ball. If you can, you know, move the ball through the air against Southern, you can get them problems defensively. The only problem with moving the ball through the air against Southern is if your line can't block, then Jordan Lewis is going to have a field day. So you definitely have to protect your quarterback in that aspect. He has 9.5 sacks in this season. You want to make Southern throw the ball as an offense to kind of keep them from getting comfortable, because if they can lean on their running game, then they're just going to wear you down. And if you remember the Jackson State game, that's basically what they did, was wear Jackson down with the running game and ran the ball for almost 300 yards and ran the ball 59 times. So Southern wants to run the ball more than they throw. If you can force them to throw, then you can probably induce some turnovers and give yourself a better chance at winning this game. But Grambling comes in at 0-3. They lost to Jackson State 33-28. They lost to Prairie View 17-10. And Pine Bluff beat them 48-21. Their last two games have been canceled, and so they haven't played a game coming into this game since March 20th. So they've been in some flux and turmoil throughout the season. The quarterback, Jeremy Hickbottom, entered the transfer portal after I think it was the Prairie View game. So they're wounded, but they're still going to be dangerous, because they've had time, you know, they've been, you know, resting up from COVID, but they are going to be hungry coming into this game. It's the Bayou Classic. You know, a lot of times all your woes disappear. So it's going to be interesting to see how Grambling can play coming off of this time off. They average 19.6 points per game. They're allowing 32.6. They have 26 rushing first downs, 28 passing first downs, and 8 by penalty, giving them 62 first downs. The opponents, 27 first downs rushing, 28 passing, 2 by penalty, good for 57 first downs. They've ran for 374 yards on 125 carries, 3 yards per carry, 124 yards per game, 5 touchdowns. The opponents, 539 yards rushing on 123 carries, 4.4 yards per carry, 179 yards per game, 4 touchdowns. Grambling is 62 of 100 passing, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 724 yards, 241 yards per game, 45 of 77 for the opponents passing, 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 743 yards, 247.6 yards per game. Total offense, Grambling 1,098 yards on 225 plays, 4.9 yards per play, 366 yards per game, 8 touchdowns. The opponents, 1,282 yards on 200 plays, 6.4 yards per play, 427.3 yards per game, 14 touchdowns. Grambling is 17 of 46 pass on third down for 36%, 2 of 4 on fourth down for 50%, 5 fumbles and lost 3. The opponents, 26 of 46 on third down for 56%. That's the huge thing right there for Grambling. They cannot get off the field on third down as a defense, so that's going to be trouble if they continue that trend. The opponents are 0 for 2 on fourth down and have 4 fumbles and lost all 4. Sacks, Grambling has 3. The opponents have 13, so they have not been able to protect the quarterback, so that can be trouble facing a team like Southern that wants to get after your quarterback. Grambling is 6-10 in the red zone with 6 touchdowns. The opponent is 6-8 in the red zone with 5 touchdowns. Grambling is led in rushing by C.J. Russell, 27 carries, 114 yards, 4.2 yards per carry, 1 touchdown, long for 21, 38 yards per game. Keelon Elder, 34 carries, 113 yards, 3.3 yards per carry, two touchdowns, 39 yard long, 37.6 yards per game. Then Damian Brooks, 21 carries, 96 yards, 4.6 yards per carry, 16 yards long, 32 yards per game. Passing, Hickbottom was the leading passer at this point in the season with 40 of 61, 65% completion, 380 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. Long of 40, 126 yards per game. Walker, 21 of 38, one touchdown and one interception, 267 yards, 55.2% completion, 61 yard long, 89 yards per game. Clark leads the team with 16 receptions for 171 yards, 10.6 yards per catch, one touchdown, long of 40, 57 yards per game. Ross, 13 catches, 152 yards, 11.6 yards per catch, one touchdown, 39 yards long, 50.6 yards per game. Foley, 5 catches, 111 yards, 22.2 yards per catch, one touchdown, long of 77, 111 yards per game. James, 77 catches of 96 yards, 13.7 yards per catch, 25 yards is his long, 32 yards per game. Johnson, 6 catches, 91 yards, 15.7 yards per catch, 61 yards is his long, 30.3 yards per game. Brooks, 4 catches for 39 yards, 9.7 yards per catch, long of 17, 13 yards per game. Russell, 5 catches, 29 yards, 5.8 yards per catch, long of 11, 9.6 yards per game. Defensively, Grambling is led by Fontenot with 21 tackles and Powell with 21 also. Dunn and Mitchell with 20. Matthews, 19. Anderson, 14. Martin, 12. Estes, Green, and Williams with 11. Fields, Foster, and Richardson with 8. Sheffield with 7. Reed and Stewart with 6. Dotson and Lewis and Richard with 5. Asidu, Britton, and Carter with 4. Tackles for loss, Powell 4.5, Matthews, Williams, and Reed with 2 each. Green 1.5, Richardson 1.5, Fontenot, Anderson, Foster, Sheffield, Lewis, and Carter each have 1 tackle for loss apiece. Dunn, Mitchell, Martin, and Dotson and Cage each have 0.5 tackle for loss apiece. Sacks, Powell 1.5, Matthews 1. And Lewis, 0.5 sack. Interceptions by Fontenot and Estes. Again, you know, I say this over and over. You cannot take this Grambling team lightly at this point. They're definitely going to come out swinging. This is the only game they have left. They really want to not end the season with a winless record. So expect them to come out ready to play. If you're Southern, you have to match whatever intensity that Grambling comes to play with. You cannot get caught, you know, looking at records. And I know neither team ever really gets caught up in that because they both understand, no matter what the situation, that the other team is going to bring all the smoke to you. So you better be ready. I think it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a knockout, drag-out game. Grambling has some good backs. Offensively, they just haven't been able to put it together. Quarterback is going to be interesting. The offensive line is going to have to protect better. They're coming off of a layoff. And, you know, like I said, every preview is kind of tough to predict how teams are going to do after that preview. I mean, after that pause. So it's tough to really say what to expect from Grambling other than the fact that I know they're going to play hard. Southern, if they can run the football and control the Grambling run game, I think they put themselves in a good chance to win. And I think they're going to win, but I think it's going to be another close game because this Classic is always close for the most part. I mean, they have been some blowouts, but I think Southern's going to win 31-24. I think it's going to be a close game for a while, and I think Southern will pull away late and get the W. Our final game, which is most likely going to decide the East Division, is the Magic City Classic in Birmingham, Alabama State against Alabama A&M. Alabama A&M comes into this game at 3-0. They defeated Alcorn by forfeit. They beat South Carolina State 31-7. And then this past Saturday, after a long time off, they beat Jackson State 52-43. They come into this game statistically averaging 41.5 points per game. They're allowing 25. They have 13 rushing first downs, 30 passing, 7 by penalty, good for 50 first downs. The opponents, 16 first downs rushing, 22 passing, 2 by penalty, 40 total. 259 yards rushing for Alabama A&M on 65 carries, 4 yards per carry, 129.5 yards per game, 1 touchdown. The opponents, 305 yards rushing on 87 carries, 4.8 yards per carry, 152 yards per game, and 3 touchdowns. Passing, A&M 42-73, 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 712 yards, 356 yards per game. The opponents, 40-89, 2 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 455 yards, 227.5 yards per game. Total offense, 971 yards for the Bulldogs on 138 plays, 7 yards per play, 485 yards per game. The opponents, 780 yards on 136 plays, 5.6 yards per play, 360 yards per game, 7 touchdowns. 9-22 for A&M on third down for 40%, 1-2 for the Bulldogs on fourth down for 50%. They have yet to fumble the ball. The opponents, 13-30 on third down for 43%, 1-2 on fourth down for 50%. They fumbled 3 times and lost all 3. Bulldogs, 4 sacks. The opponents, 1. 9-9 in the red zone for Alabama A&M, 7 touchdowns. The opponents, 4-6 in the red zone, 4 touchdowns. Garrett Qualls is the leading rusher with 37 carries for 178 yards, 4.8 yards per carry, longer 23, 89 yards per game. Cameron Young, 6 carries, 52 yards, 8.7 yards per carry, longer 30, 26 yards per game. Passing, Glass, 42-73, 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 57% completion, 712 yards, long of 65, 359 yards per game. Receiving, Odu-Helaire, 8 catches, 183 yards, 22 yards per catch, 3 touchdowns, 65 yards is long. Zabrion Moore, 4 catches, 114 yards, 28 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, longer 61. Ibrahim, 5 catches, 94 yards, 18.8 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns, longer 35, 94 yards per game. Garrett Qualls, 4 catches, 85 yards, 21.2 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, longer 43, 42.5 yards per game. Brian Jenkins Jr., 6 catches for 68 yards, 11 yards per catch, 17 yards his long. Terrell Gardner, 2 catches, 27 yards. So they definitely have, obviously, a great passing attack. They have, they spread the ball around. If you give Glass time, he's going to kill you. They don't run the ball that often, but Garrett Qualls is starting to settle in as the main back. And, you know, he's a smaller guy that can kind of get lost behind the line of scrimmage. And they like to use him on a lot of draws and stretch runs. So if he gets on the outside, then he can be dangerous. But he's also dangerous in the receiving game. So you definitely have to keep an eye out on him. A&M is as advertised on offense. So you definitely have to be ready on defense to take care of them. Monty Holloway leads the team with 14 tackles. Tariq Colefield, 12. Trenton McGee, 7. Marcus Kashine, 6. Amari Holloway was 6. Eli Jackson, 5. Joseph Narcisse, 5. Kelly with 5. Adejunko, Russell, and Struggs with 4. Austin, Biambi, Gibson, and Galford with 3. Also Harris with 3. Huggins, 3. And Kelly with 3. Tackles for loss. Amani Holloway, 3. Kushine, 2. Jackson, 2. Russell, 2. Caulfield, 1. Amari Holloway with 1. Kelly, 1. McKenzie, 1. Billingsley, 1. Sacks. Kushine, 3. Jackson, 1. Amari Holloway with 1. Kelly with 1. McKenzie with 1. Interceptions. Kelly has 2. So defensively, A&M's been kind of suspect. Jackson State was able to take advantage of a lot of opportunities running the football on the outside. That secondary is really young. They have some corners playing on the outside that are freshmen. And they made some big mistakes, but they were able to get the stops when they needed them. And I think they're comfortable with playing that bend but don't break type of defense. So they don't mind outscoring you. So that defensively, you kind of have to take that with a grain of salt, because they going to play great offense, and that's what they want to hang their hat on. If the defense can get enough stops, then they're fine with it. They're not going to, try to reinvent the wheel with what they do. They're playing an Alabama State team who's been up and down all year. They opened up the season with a 24-21 loss to Southern. They had a 2-0 forfeit over Alcorn. They beat Jackson State 35-28. Their game against Pine Bluff was canceled due to weather. They lost to South Carolina State 14-7. And then they beat Valley 42-17 in a game that was close. Tip Valley went for it on fourth down deep in their own territory, didn't get it. And Alabama State was able to tack on a couple of touchdowns in that third and fourth quarter to get the W. And then they closed out their season on Saturday against Alabama A&M. They come into this game averaging 26.2 yards per game. The opponent's 20.7. They have 29 first downs rushing, 45 passing, 8 by penalty. Good for 82 first downs. The opponent's 32 first downs rushing, 26 passing, 9 by penalty. Good for 67 first downs. 587 yards rushing for the Hornets on 142 plays, 4.1 yards per carry, 146 yards per game, 7 touchdowns, 609 yards rushing for the opponents on 159 carries, 3.8 yards per carry, 152.3 yards per game, 5 touchdowns. Total offense, passing offense, Alabama State, 85 of 146, 8 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. 226 yards per game, 907 yards passing. The opponents, 54 of 119, 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 552 yards, 138 yards per game. Total offense, 1,494 yards for Alabama State on 288 plays, 5.2 yards per play, 373 yards per game, 15 touchdowns, 278 total plays for the opponents. 1,161 yards, 4.2 yards per play, 290 yards per game, 10 touchdowns. Alabama State is 17 of 54 on third down for 31%, 5 of 8 on fourth down for 62%. The opponents 18 of 61 on third down for 29%, 1 for 6 on fourth down for 16%. So the Hornets defense has done a great job of getting off the field at pretty much every chance that they get. Offensively, they're struggling on third downs, but they find some magic on fourth down. 6 fumbles, and they lost 5 for Alabama State. The opponents have fumbled 10 times and lost 6. They have 11 sacks. The opponents have 11 sacks. 10 of 14 in the red zone for Alabama State with 10 touchdowns. 10 of 15 in the red zone for the opponents with 7 touchdowns. Alabama State is led in rushing by Ezra Gray, 65 carries, 335 yards, 5.2 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns, long of 50, 83.7 yards per game. Jacory Merritt, 32 carries, 117 yards, 3.7 yards per carry, one touchdown, long of 14, 29.2 yards per game. Ryan Nettles, 33 carries, 104 yards, 3.2 yards per carry, one touchdown, long of 53, 26 yards per game. Nettles, 83 of 140 passing, 59%, 902 yards on 8 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, long of 59, 225 yards per game. Jeremiah Hickson, 13 catches, 234 yards, 18 yards per catch, 3 touchdowns, long of 35. Michael Jefferson, 20 catches, 202 yards, 10.1 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, long of 31. Jahar Booker, 13 catches, 194 yards, 14.9 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns, long of 43. Wallace Corker, 5 catches, 95 yards, 19 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns, long of 59. Terrence Ellis, 10 catches, 71 yards, 7.1 yards per catch, 19 yards is his long. Francis Poole, 5 catches, 32 yards, 6.4 yards per catch, long of 11. Defensively, and this is where they shine at, defensively, they're very stout in the front seven. Secondary isn't great, but they can make some plays. They're going to be tested big time in this game. Urshad Davis, 32 tackles. Rompersod, 19. Adams, 18. Burgess, 16. Culpepper, 14. Echols, 14. Bundridge and Foote with 12, Ogletree, 11, Adesipi with 10, Clark, 10, Webster, 10, Scott, Tarver, and Terry each have 9 tackles, Gaddy, 8, Harper, 7, and Isaac, Reed, and Troutman with 5, also Whitehurst has 5, and Howard, King, and Pope each have 4 tackles, Webster and Gray with 3. Tackles for loss. Ogletree, 3.5. Webster, 3.5. Terry, 3. Rompersod, 2.5. Clark, 2.5. Culpepper, 2. Howard, 2. King, 2. Davis, 1.5. Adams, 1.5. Brundridge, 1.5. Adesipi, 1.5. And Tarver, 1.5. Burgess, Harper, Pope, Brown, and West each have 1 tackle for loss apiece. Foote, Scott, and Gaddy each have a half a tackle for loss apiece. Sacks, Ogletree, and Rompersod with 2 each. Webster, 1. Howard, 1. King, 1. Adesipi, 1. Tarver, Brown, they each also have 1. Interceptions go to Davis, Harper, Scott, Troutman, and Phelps. They each have 1 interception apiece. So this game, honestly, I think the key to this game is going to be Alabama State's running game. Can Ezra Gray bounce back? He's been invisible in the last 2 games. He had a huge game against Jackson State. He didn't have a great game against Southern. Jacory Merritt actually had a better game, although neither one of them ran for any serious yardage. Gray did run for 73 yards against Southern, so he did, you know, he had a pretty good game, but he was quiet compared to what he did against Jackson State. Merritt stood out a little bit more in that Southern game, but they have to get Ezra Gray going in some aspect because they need to have some explosive plays. Ryan Nettles is going to have to be really sound with the football and know what he wants to do. Alabama State's defense is more stout than Alabama A&M's, but I don't know how they're going to really play as well against the pass. I know they are very good against the run. They're going to be tested through the air. This is going to be one of those kind of games, like I always like to say, that you had to throw the records out. In 2019, this was like a triple overtime game that I think both teams scored in the 40s. So, and it wasn't even supposed to be that kind of a matchup because Alabama State wasn't playing that well. But you can always count on the team who is the supposed underdog in this game to come out swinging. So I think it's going to be an entertaining game. It's all going to depend on how successful Alabama State's defense is against Alabama A&M's offense. If they could slow them down a little bit, that might give them a better chance, but they have to be consistent on offense because they've really been kind of lacking until the second half of the Valley game. So they have to get themselves back in order and come to play in this game. But I'm going to go with Alabama A&M because they're playing energized football right now. I think it's going to be a very close game. I'm picking a lot of points. I'm going to go back again with 42 to 40. I think it's just going to be one of those track meet type of games. And it should be a great offensive game because I think both teams are going to really have their way moving the football. So that's going to do it for today's show. We'll be back on Sunday to recap all of these games. We're going to have some YouTube content coming tomorrow. So keep an eye out on that. And with all that being said, man, my name is Charles Wells, as usual, the host of Swag Talk. And I'm up out of here. Everybody be safe and enjoy the rest of your week. Later.